As this is the first Sunday of the new year, we won't begin our series till next Lord's Day. I don't know if you realise, today's Epiphany Sunday in the Anglican church calendar. It's a day when the manifestation, that's what Epiphany means, the manifestation, the showing of Jesus Christ to the Magi, the wise men, happened, as the children reminded us in their verse. And it's also a day when Christ's first miracle is remembered. And that's why we read from John chapter 2, the miracle of the water being turned into wine in the wedding at Cana. That was a manifestation, an unveiling, the curtain being drawn aside on the divinity and of the power of Jesus Christ. And most of us will probably equate Epiphany Sunday with the 12th day of Christmas, which is the day when all the decorations have to come down. So I hope all your decorations are down. So let's look at this miracle of the turning of water into wine. So the first thing is it's a manifestation of Jesus' glory. Now, my friends, that's what made this wedding special. It was an Eastern wedding. Have you ever been to an Eastern wedding? I went, when I was in India, to the engagement party for an Eastern wedding, and the engagement party was bigger than the weddings we have over here. So as in the East today, so in Jesus' day, a wedding feast wouldn't just last for an afternoon. It would go on for days and days, and hundreds of people would be invited. But it wasn't the length of the wedding celebration in Cana of Galilee or the number of guests that made it special. It was the presence of one guest, Jesus Christ. And my friends, what will make 2019 special for us as individuals and as a church is that we have a manifestation of Jesus Christ, that we will have his presence with us. Can I ask you, have you had a manifestation of Jesus Christ? That's what happened to me when I was converted. I saw, not with my physical eyes, but with the eye of faith, Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Manifestation, an epiphany. That's my prayer for all of us here this morning, that we would have a manifestation of his glory. So that's the first thing. This wedding is an epiphany, a manifestation. And then the second thing, this is the first miracle that Jesus did. And so if we're thinking, what does a manifestation of Jesus Christ mean? We are not going to see water being turned into wine, are we? So what do we mean when we say we need a spiritual manifestation of Jesus Christ? Well, look at what happened in this wedding. Jesus was a guest because he was a friend of the family. And they had a problem. They had run out of wine. Or maybe they didn't even have the wine. Somebody comes to the mother of Jesus and says, verse 3, they have no wine. Do you know what wine means in the Bible? Now, I don't want you to take this the wrong way. The Bible doesn't condemn the drinking of wine. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have turned the water into wine. Wine in the Bible is symbolic of joy and contentedness. Now, the Bible condemns drunkenness in no uncertain terms. And as we heard from Mike Meller many months ago, many people struggle with alcoholism, and so they don't touch alcohol then. But nowhere in the Bible does it say that wine shouldn't be drunk. It's a sign of joy. Now, this is what I want to take this morning. There is no wine. There was no wine in the wedding. And my friend, there is no joy outside of Jesus Christ. As we look at a new year, it is only going to be complete if we have the presence of Jesus Christ. Now, if you look at the details here, if you've got a Bible, look at verse 6. There were six water pots of stone. And what Jesus did was turn the water in these water pots into wine. Now, wine is symbolic of joy. The number 7 in the Bible is symbolic. Do you know what the number 7 means in Scripture? It means completeness, perfection. Now, isn't it interesting that there are only 6 water pots here? They're one missing from being complete. And isn't that a vivid picture of our life in this world? Oh, we are blessed, aren't we, in this country? We have so many things that people in many other parts of the world lack. We have a roof over our heads. We have food in our stomachs. We have all the good things that are showered upon us. Our lines are fallen in pleasant places. But all those things are just 6 water pots if we don't have the one thing that counts, and that is Jesus Christ. Oh, my friend, have you got Jesus Christ in your life? Your life is going to be incomplete in this year without Jesus Christ. I find the way that the servant comes to the mother of Jesus and says, they have no wine. The wine has run out. Is that true of your life this morning? The joy has run out. Oh, when I started off, I tried to get as much out of life as possible. I tried to enjoy myself with the pleasures of life. I tried this, I tried that. But it's running out. There's nothing there. How does the hymn put it? Fading is the worldling's pleasure, all his boasted pomp and joy. Solid joys, that's what we need. And lasting treasure. None but Zion's children know. Let me give you an example of somebody who had everything and yet he lacked Jesus Christ. It's the 25th anniversary of the death of Kurt Cobain this year. He shot himself, age 27, in April 1994. And he was a rock star, and he had everything. He was a multimillionaire in his early 20s. He had everything that he could have. And yet, this is what he wrote. His handwriting is harder to understand than mine. So let me try and make the best I can. The fact is, I can't fool you, any one of you. The worst crime I can think of would be to rip people off by faking it and pretending as if I'm having 100% fun. I need to be slightly numb to regain the enthusiasm I once had. I don't have the passion anymore. It's better to burn out than to fade away. That's what he wrote. He said, I can't have 100% fun. I'm putting it on. Oh, is that you this morning? But there's something else, isn't there, about these water pots? They were ceremonial water pots. What does that mean? Look again at verse 6. Now, there were set there 6 water pots of stone according to the manner of purification of the Jews. What were these water pots used for? They were used for the cleansing, the ceremonial cleansing. In the Old Testament, the Jews were taught that unless they cleansed themselves, that there would be no forgiveness of sins. And in Jesus' day, many of the Jews, they were depending on outward cleansing in order to be right with God. You see, it's not just people who, like Kurt Cobain, are just hedonistic, living for pleasure, who have the joy running out. It is possible to try and find joy and contentment in religion, and it doesn't work. Maybe some of you here this morning, this is what your danger is. You think that just attending church will make you right with God. George Whitfield may be the best example of this. He was converted, but before he was saved, He was a student in Oxford in the 18th century, and he had this gnawing emptiness inside. He needed to fill that God-shaped hole in his soul. And you know what he did? He tried religion, and he went farther in religion than any of us will go. He joined the Holy Club, and not only did they go to church twice or three times on Sunday, they had communion during the week. Not only did they do that, they had prayer meetings every day. Not only did they do that, they visited the prisoners in Oxford. Not only did they do that, they abstained from foods. Not only did they do that, they would spend hours in prayer. Not only did they do that, some of them even went and became missionaries in North America, John Wesley being the best example of that. And all of that didn't give any satisfaction. Oh, is there somebody here this morning, maybe not going as far as Whitfield, but still, you are coming to church, going to the meetings, in order to try and fill this aching void. It's not going to work, my friends. Religion doesn't do it. Do you know what my prayer is for this new year? Lord, don't allow me to become religious. Do you know what Christianity is? Do you know what Christianity is? In its essence, all that thrills my soul is Jesus. I couldn't give a hoot about religious ceremonies. Give me but Jesus, my Lord crucified. Cleansing, where is that to be found? In the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus says to his mother, when she says to him, they have no wine, he says in verse 4, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. Do you know what that refers to? The hour when he went to that cross and died in your place and mine so that we could be cleansed. Oh, can I ask, is that the essence of your Christianity? Is it Jesus Christ? Can I mention George Whitfield again? For months, he'd been trying to find Jesus Christ there in Oxford as a student. And then one day, it was while walking in one of Oxford's parks, I think it was Addison's Walk, he was walking, and he had an epiphany. The word epiphany can mean an eureka moment. Have you had that with Jesus Christ? He suddenly saw, it's not what I do that counts, but what Jesus did on that cross. Has that happened to you? There was a great man of God here in Wales, Elwyn Davis, and some of you were converted under him. And he was leading a Bible study many, many years ago. And he was trying to explain this wonderful gospel, that it's not what we do, but it's what Jesus has done 100% for us that saves us. And one student, he just didn't get it. He just didn't see it. And he asked Elwyn Davis a question, and he said, excuse me, Mr. Davis. And then eureka. He saw epiphany. Hallelujah. What a saviour. He's done it all. Oh, I don't know where you're at spiritually. You don't have to spend time seeking Jesus Christ before you believe in him. Now, put your trust in him. Oh, my eureka moment came in 1990, 25th of February. I just saw it. I'd been seeking for months. And I saw, I don't have to do a thing. He's done it all. What it means to believe in him is just to take that. Oh, can I quote a hymn which has been with me at the start of this new year? This is how one hymnist saw it. And when I think that God, his son, not sparing, but sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That's not religion. That's Christianity. That on the cross, my burden, my sin, gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Oh, hallelujah. Is there a hallelujah in your heart this morning? Because Jesus Christ has done it all. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? This is the first miracle that Jesus did. His miracles were signposts to that great miracle that he did on the cross, so that we can be cleansed from sin. Oh, isn't it true? Christian, can't you say this with complete honesty? You're not faking it, as Kurt Cobain would put it, when you say, all that thrills my soul in Jesus. Oh, I tried the broken water pots and found them all to fail. But the moment I believed in Jesus Christ, my sins were dealt with, past, present, future, all forgiven, and a future joy and a present, oh, sense of his presence in my heart. This is the first miracle. And then my third point, and this is the most important point. It's a miracle of grace. It's a miracle of grace. Do you know what grace is? Do you know what grace means? Undeserving favor. Did you know what that means? You give something to a person who's your enemy. You know, at Christmas time, people tend to give, don't they, to people they know who are going to give to them. That's not grace. But if you think of a person giving something to someone who's done something against him, that's grace. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. When we were enemies, he died. And do you know what grace is? These water pots, when they were turned into wine, the water in them, that is, not the stone pots, they were full to the brim. I like that. Do you know what kind of grace Jesus gives? Not a little bit, but abundant grace. Do you know what kind of mathematical symbol you have to think of when it comes to grace? It's definitely not minus, because grace doesn't take away. It's definitely not divide, because grace doesn't give us less. It's not add. Grace doesn't add. Do you know what grace does? It multiplies. Grace upon grace. So here am I. Far away from Jesus Christ, and I've got this gnawing emptiness, and then I have an eureka moment. I find in him forgiveness of sins. Isn't that wonderful? That we have a hope of heaven, that in 2019 we can know where we're heading. But that's only one thing. Grace upon grace. What happens when water is turned into wine? There's an act of creation going on. And the same happens when we believe in Jesus Christ. We're born again. Isn't that amazing? When a person becomes a Christian, there is a supernatural power involved, as much as when God created the world, when he makes a person a new creation, grace upon grace. And isn't it true with the pleasures of this world? Maybe you are hooked first on things. There's a sweet taste, isn't there, at first? But what happens then? They run out, and you become bound to them. It's not like that with grace. I think I'm right in saying, if you're a Christian this morning, you'll agree with me, that when we first tasted the grace of God in Jesus Christ, it wasn't as sweet as it is now. Because what I find two things. As the years go by, I find my sin is greater than I ever imagined it to be. And I find Jesus Christ to be more precious than ever I thought he'd be. Do you know what Christianity does? It leaves the best until last. I love this account. The master, he didn't know that a miracle had taken place. He thought that there was wine there already. Verse 9, when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, the master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, every other wedding I've been to, they have the good wine first, and then they have the poorer wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. That's Christianity. You know, as Christians get older, they get sweeter, don't they? I got this quotation. Oh, listen to this. This is better than Mr. Cobain. Jesus Christ keeps the best till last. His gifts become sweeter every day. No time can cloy them. Advancing years make them more precious. The end is better in the course than the beginning. And when life is over, 2019, where did 2018 go? Where did it go? 10 years gone. Where have all the years gone? And when this life is over, as it will be for us, and some of you will be taken into glory this year, in a church this size, some of you won't be here this time next year. And when this life is over and we pass into the heavens, the word will come to our lips with surprise and with thankfulness as we find how much better it all is than when we had ever dreamed it should be. And we will say to him, "You've kept the best wine until last." You know, that's Christianity. Oh, if you haven't got Jesus Christ, your life is empty. You may think you've got everything, but you've only got 6 water pots. You need him, and you need your sins to be forgiven more than anything. And if you've got him, even if you lack other things, oh, how full your life can be. You know, I've had several epiphanies since I was saved. Can I mention one? I'm coming to a conclusion here. Can I mention one? In my first pastorate, there was a couple, Mr. and Mrs. Rowlands. They've both gone to glory now. And the first death I ever witnessed was Mrs. Rowlands's. And I was feeling down before I was called to the hospital. I was feeling, what's the point of this? Not many people come to church. Oh, what's the point of this gospel? And I was called suddenly into the hospital because she was dying. Her organs were failing. And as I walked into that ward and saw the peace on her face, I had an epiphany moment. Did you know what it did to me? It made me awake to the fact that, yes, this gospel is worth preaching because nothing else can give a hope in life and in death. And as we start 2019, it's this gospel that we need, a manifestation of Jesus Christ. This miracle, incidentally, happened on a Sabbath day, the day of rest, the last day of the week. That's a sign, another sign, of the eternal rest that awaits if we trust in Jesus Christ. You know what? Before I was saved, when I was told that heaven would be one long Sabbath, I thought, oh no. I used to hate Sundays. But the moment I had my epiphany, I believed in Jesus Christ. I thought, yes, we're going to have forever and forever worshipping him. It's going to be church forever. And it's going to be him speaking to me forever. And it's going to be me worshipping him with his people forever without any distractions. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Not religion, but real Christianity. The marriage supper of the Lamb. Can I close with this illustration? We've had a lot of weddings, haven't we, recently, the last year. And if you get your wedding invitation, there are, is it 4 letters at the bottom? RSVP. Is that French? Am I right? Respondez, si, vous, play. You've got to respond. Do you know what's happening in the service this morning? A wedding invitation is going out, an invitation to come to Jesus Christ. And there's an RSVP. And do you know what faith is? Do you know what it is to believe? It ends this account with, and his disciples believed in him. It says that so many times in the gospel. We don't know when the first time was, but this is what matters, is they believed in him. They responded to him. Are you going to respond to this wonderful invitation at the start of 2019 to Jesus Christ? I'm not inviting you to a religion, but to a person who will fill your heart, a person who will cleanse you of your sin, and a person who will be with you throughout 2019 and however more years you'll have, and a person who, when you come to die, will take you to be with himself forever and forever. For a person who's trusting in Jesus Christ, death isn't the end. Death is promotion. Promotion. Oh, friend, believe. This year, believe in Jesus Christ. May we all, if we're believers or not, have an epiphany, a manifestation of Jesus Christ to our souls for his name's sake. Amen. Let's now.